Jurisdiction under 7.057A2A requires alleging a violation of a school law of the state. So school laws of the state are what? Titles 1 and 2 of the Texas Education Code and rules adopted thereunder. This was different before 1995. The commissioner had jurisdiction over a lot more stuff prior to 95, but since then, very limited jurisdiction. So now that we know what school laws are, let's quickly try to run through what school laws are not. You got to identify a school law of the state. In this case, the petitioner complained about a reprimand. The school laws of the state do not dictate when and how to reprimand an employee. No standards for that. In this case, somebody complaining of wrongful termination under federal law and the U.S. Constitution. Those are out, not school laws of the state. Let's see. The employee here complained that when her grievance against the principal was heard by the principal's spouse, that somehow violated the government code. Well, it may sound fishy, but the government code is not a school law of the state. So not there. Gardner versus Southwest ISD. Gardner complained about her reassignment. And she said the magic words of racial discrimination. So the district did investigation under DIA local, and she complained that the district didn't follow their policies. Well, policies and procedures of a local school board are not school laws of the state. This case also illustrates the administrative law judge's process. After they review the pleadings, they're going to conduct a pre-hearing conference with everybody where they will raise any jurisdictional issues with the parties. And at this point, if the ALJ notices deficiencies, they're going to give you an opportunity to replead. Now, in this case, through her counsel, the petitioner said that they would stand by their pleadings, and they declined to amend them. Just a word of advice, if the ALJ tells you that you ought to replead, you ought to replead. That is not a good idea. So they did not identify a school law of the state either because they didn't replead. Here's a student case. You'll be happy to know that Medicaid, HIPAA, IDEA, not school laws of the state. I think Judge Maska and Judge Butcher are happy about that too. So did somebody say HIPAA? I'm going to take this opportunity to say that it's HIPAA with two A's, not HIPAA with two P's. One was enacted by Congress in 1996. The other was invented by people on the internet in 2020. I'm just saying. So let's keep going here. SBEC enforces the Educator's Code of Ethics. While that may seem like it's a school law of the state because it's in the administrative code, The TEA does not have authority over allegations of violations of the Educator's Code of Ethics. So that is under the purview of SBEC. Similarly, in this case, Mason versus Port Neches Groves, you had a community member complaining that the mascot of the district was harmful to students and that the board therefore violated the code of ethics. Board members are not even subject to the code of ethics. Just some trivia, those of you from Southeast Texas know that PNG's mascot are the Indians, and they chose their mascot back in 1925. 50 years later, in 1979, the Cherokee Nation actually officially certified their mascot and recognized PNG as ambassadors of goodwill and recognition of their interest in and their contributions toward honoring the Cherokee Nation. But in July of 2020, a time when the country was reeling from the murder of George Floyd and scrutiny over racially insensitive public displays and mascots was renewed, the Cherokee Nation actually officially withdrew its support for the use of the term Indians in PNG. I thought that was interesting and kind of a sign of the times. If you're not identifying a school law of the state, if you're asserting jurisdiction under A2B, you've got to identify a contract violation with monetary harm. Now, in this case, an employee was placed on leave with pay, and they were complaining that they couldn't tutor and make extra money. That is not a valid assertion of damages. Lost earnings capacity, because you can't tutor, is not going to be considered damages in those cases. All right, you got to ask for relief that the commissioner can grant. In this case, you've got a senior who anticipated graduating as valedictorian, but the school district changed their grading and class rank policies. Now, why would a district have modified its class grading policies in April of 2020? That's right. Like many districts, in response to the pandemic, Rock Springs voted on a resolution to modify its grading and class rank policies. And under the modified policies, the senior's class rank was determined at the end of 2019 fall semester instead of the spring 2020 semester. And you might be thinking it's moot, but even though the student had already graduated and was attending college, the complaint wasn't moot, because if he had been named valedictorian, he could have sought a tuition waiver. Pardon me. However, those tuition waivers are in the higher education part of the education code. And the commissioner can't grant what they were asking for is a direct payment of tuition from the school district. And the commissioner can't require a school district to pay tuition when the law really allows an institution of higher education to grant a waiver, essentially.